this task accomplished to your satisfaction.
That's Raza, the titular wild robot voiced by Lupita Nyong'o in DreamWorks Animation's latest film. It's been 2 weeks since I watched The Wild Robot, but there are still moments from that movie that I think about on a regular basis. One of them, an unexpectedly dark joke for a family film. This one comes when Pinktail, an opossum voiced by Catherine O'Hara, tells Rossum about parenting.
As a mother of seven... six babies, it's a full-time thing. But it's not all bad. Just mostly bad.
Thankfully, that baby turns out to be fine, but this moment quickly announces The Wild Robot as a more mature movie, an insightful story about creating your own family and caring for someone who doesn't feel like they belong. After spending the opening searching for a task to complete, Rossum adapts a gosling, Brightbill. She's tasked with teaching the young goose to eat, swim, and fly, leading to this insight on the nature of parenting.
I do not have the programming to be a mother.
No one does. We just make it up.
The Wild Robot is now available to buy or rent on demand, but it's still playing in theaters, and it's still doing quite solidly. Since the film came out in September, it has only dipped below number 2 in the box office once. This, even as other competitors have faded out, or in the case of the megabomb Joker, Folie à Deux, flamed out. Maybe it's because The Wild Robot is the kind of movie worth seeing in theaters. For one, it looks gorgeous. Here's Weinberg sophomore Sophie Kozine on the movie's visuals.
It was clear that there was so much time and effort put into it, and the visuals were just, like, jaw-dropping. They didn't, you know, beat around the bush at all or take any shortcuts, and it was clear. And it was just, like, there was so much effort put into it, and it made me think about how, you know, far animation had come and what there's, like, a new standard, I feel, for, like, what we should be expecting out of animators.
This movie's from DreamWorks, but it draws from a long line of animated films. Weinberg Jr., Justin Dines, says The Wild Robot reminded him of Pixar movies that imbue non-human characters with very human emotions. He also thought of another renowned animation studio.
I'm a big, you know, Studio Ghibli fan. My favorite movie is Princess Mononoke. And I think maybe not the actual animation, it was that similar, or I think it handles plot very differently than, like, the works of Miyazaki. But I thought there was a sense of wonder when looking at nature that is in a lot of, you know, Ghibli films that I really appreciate.
The movie brings its natural landscapes to life with rich brushstrokes, like a modern update on the animation styles of Disney films. Director Chris Sanders said his main visual influences were Bambi and Studio Ghibli's My Neighbor Totoro, which makes sense, since both movies combine detailed scenery with intimate character relationships. Besides, there's a deeper reason that this movie strikes a chord in theaters. Here's Kozine again.
Everyone was just, like, kind of in trance, and there were certain parts where multiple people cried, and at the end, we were all just kind of, like, we had all come to the conclusion that we needed about 2 business days to process, and we all said that, you know, it was fantastic.
Dines watched the movie for his birthday. He had a similar experience with his friends.
I know I tear up at, like, every movie I watch that has any emotions, but kind of seeing people who don't necessarily watch as many movies as I do really be impacted that way felt pretty good.
As for when people cried, well, I heard some similar answers.
When Roz let Brightbelt go and, like, fly away, even though she was worried about him, that stuck out to me.
When Brightbelt actually flies off with the group and starts migrating, that definitely, I think I definitely teared up at that moment quite a bit. And then I was shocked. I thought that would be kind of the end of the film, but I think later on, their reunion also really, really got me.
When he came back and she was still there, Roz was still on the island when he came back. And then there was, like, this search to, you know, find each other, and everyone was freaking out. Yeah, those kinds of parts.
The Wild Robot covers a lot of ground. The opening sequence is dominated by world building and Roz's single-minded focus on finding a job. But afterward, we see it all. Training montages, rescues, escapes. And yet, this movie doesn't feel as rushed as I would have expected, because it leaves us with many moments of intimacy and vulnerability within this richly developed world. Chris Bowers' score accentuates many of these moments, making even the obligatory narrative beats feel fresh, exciting, and uplifting. An original song from Maren Morris plays as Brightbill learns how to fly, and it's got a very clear message.
Oh my darling, if you try, you just might kiss the sky.
The Wild Robot follows two parallel journeys. Roz learns how to connect with others on a deeper level, and Brightbill learns how to trust in himself, his abilities, and his potential.
It's a very complex in the way it discusses emotion that I'm you know, an adult watching this movie that I don't know if a child would be able to appreciate all those things. But I think at the end of the day, even though it's kind of discussing some of those societal factors, it still feels very hopeful about how it treats them.
There's a sequence set in the headquarters of Universal Dynamics, the company that produced robots like Roz, and the company tries to retrieve Roz near the end of the film. But unlike, say, WALL-E, this movie isn't really a commentary on the destructive nature of consumerism, nor is it a warning about the pitfalls of artificial intelligence. Instead, The Wild Robot is a story of survival, a fable about a found family, the kind you create through kindness and compassion. Task accomplished. For WNR News, I'm Edward Simon Cruz. What if you look your face?